Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm here. I'm doing the podcast.
I'm a bit under the weather, Nick Mason.
Yeah.
So if I pass out, just leave me for a minute.
Okay. And you'll recover on your own?
It's one of those things
where... Can I put you into a crash position?
No, it's the only way I'll learn.
Okay, good.
I'll either come back stronger or not at all.
Great.
That's my motto.
That's how it works, yeah. Hey, if you're listening to this, stop listening to this.
Yeah.
This week
I was
a guest on one of my favorite podcasts called Do Go On.
Oh yeah, I've got that ready to go.
It's a podcast. They're three mates. My friends are Dave, Jess, and Matt, and they get together. One of them does a report on a special topic. Could be anything.
Yeah.
And then the other two try and bring them down.
Derail.
It's derail. That's basically how it works. I was on it before. I did a report on Marvel Comics.
Yeah, it was great.
This time around, I didn't feel like doing a report, so Matt did a report on Elvis Presley.
He did the homework for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'll be back at some point. I'm going to do one on DC.
Oh, great.
It's very good.
Very good.
Yeah. Some of it might be in poor taste, some of the things I said in that episode, but give it a whirl and see what you think.
I don't know.
See what they edited out.
Well, listen, if you're listening to that podcast, stop listening to that one.
Get back on this podcast.
I was going to say, we've got another episode of Caravan of Garbage.
Oh, we did too.
Which is out Thursday. There's an extended audio version, which is about 10 to 15 minutes longer, and it's also on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's on an infamous movie from the 90s, mm-hmm. a DC movie, and there might be another DC movie coming up on this Thursday's episode, so
Very
you can
good.
Find it wherever you're listening to this,
yeah.
and also on my YouTube channel, where you can see pictures.
See the pictures. A lot of people have said, this would be great with pictures, and I'm like, it's got pictures.
It has pictures.
Just wait, like a couple of days.
No, I do that first. I'm going to go video first,
great.
And then audio.
Well, don't wait.
But I'm also going to link the audio in the description so you can get it. You can sneak along and get it before I release it officially.
Very nice, yeah.
All right, Mason. You like Power Rangers. You love it. It's your favorite show.
No.
You still watch it to this day.
None of those things are true. This is worse than that time you told everybody that I really liked Digimon or whatever it was. Yu-Gi-Oh?
I don't know.
It was Yu-Gi-Oh.
One of those, wasn't it?
And it was printed in a magazine. You said that I loved Yu-Gi-Oh.
Didn't I?
Oh, jeez.
Well, Bill Hader is to voice Power Rangers' Alpha 5.
Which is the little robot.
Yeah, the robot with the head.
I know, because I'm a big fan.
I know that.
Of Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yes, exactly. They cross over, don't they?
Yeah.
I think that's great casting.
Yeah.
He was just like, ay, ay, ay. Bill Hader could do that.
He could definitely do that.
He's got those skills.
But can he bring in a different flavour?
You know what I mean? No.
And further question... No, he could.
Of course he
could.
But
I think the further question is, does anybody want a different flavour to this, or do they want exactly the same
as what
they've always gotten? The same tripe they've always gotten from Power Rangers.
Well, if you like tripe, Mason, they had some posters released where they're standing on their Zords.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And I looked at it and went, yep, fine. You don't really see the Zords. It's like the shoulder.
Yep.
And then you just read then that there's some controversy about this?
Well...
What?
Each of the posters, each one is a different Power Ranger with their Zord.
Yeah.
And then there's a little quip.
Yeah.
Like a teen-related quip of some sort.
Was it like, Mom, get me my breakfast?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And you'd think that one
would be controversial enough. Because get your own darn breakfast, children. But the one for the yellow Power Ranger says, no driver's ed required. Which you'd think would be a fairly innocuous statement. Because the kids, they go to the driver end.
Yeah, yeah.
But the original Yellow Rangers in the Power Rangers TV show was killed in a car crash.
Oh.
So.
I don't think that was
No, that's
obviously
not...
that wasn't a dig at the original Yellow Ranger.
What if it was, though? What if somebody was a huge fan of Power Rangers, but they hated Trini in the original Power Rangers?
I didn't know that.
A name I know. But then they're like, I hate her. So, and so they've risen up the ranks of Hollywood to become a poster maker, and they're like, this will
one
get
final shot.
That's right.
Oh, well, look, I think that's. I mean, if it was intentional, obviously that's in poor taste.
Yeah,
but so I very much
very
doubt,
much
that
doubt
it
would be. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, Mason, let's leave Power Rangers behind for this week, but we'll be back because it's what a property.
Oh, do we have to be back?
Yeah, there'll be another poster.
Oh, jeez, all right.
Ghost in the Shell got. Well, they were teaser trailers. There was a whole lot of them, but I watched them as one.
Yep.
And I didn't realize that they were supposed to be split up. And I'm like, what is this?
I didn't know there were multiple teaser trailers either.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you watch them individually, I'm like, oh, there's some really great imagery there.
Yeah.
But watching them all in a row, I'm like, this is really poorly handled.
Yeah. Because it was on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, it just came up in my feed. And
right.
I'm like, oh, Ghost in the Shell. And it's this, yeah, it's a series of weird images, then Ghost in the Shell logo, then weird images, then Ghost in the Shell logo
yeah.
again. It was a little bit Black Mirror-ish.
Okay, sure, I could see that.
But it didn't.
No,
didn't
you know,
press me on any
level. They should
have
done one. They should have done the teaser. The people are loving the teaser for the teaser.
Yep.
You do the 10 seconds of Scarlett Johansson pulling the cord out of the back of her head, and she's in front of the city or whatever.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Just do that.
Uh-huh.
It's iconic. People know that as from Ghost in the Shell, and they'd be like, trailer next week or whatever.
Just
don't do five so people can put them in a row.
Right.
Like, that's not a good first impression.
Look, all we want is the one where she takes all her clothes off and flings herself off the building.
Exactly.
That's all we want, that bit.
And Mex.
Also Mex.
We should watch that again,
and
actually.
The guy with the weird eyes.
Yes. Actually, you're going to watch that again before
I think I will,
the movie?
Yeah.
I don't know whether I should, because I feel like if I watch it again, then that will ruin the live action adaptation, because I'll be like, well, that's different than that and whatever.
Yeah.
If I watch them so close together.
Okay, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Good for you. You ruined
you
that for yourself.
They should factor that in. That
absolutely.
People are going to watch. I'm hoping there's a variation of the line where he's like, where the sidekick guy's like, all right, I got this really big gun. I was late because I had to go and get it.
Sure.
It's great.
Good stuff. Jared Leto, it was revealed this week, was up for the role of Doctor Strange.
Huh.
Mm. They apparently always...
He's too strange.
If anything.
Mm.
They apparently always wanted Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep.
But I don't know whether...
Even before they knew he existed?
Exactly, yeah. Oh. He's been genetically bred.
The one in the 70s, they're like, this isn't very good. If only there was a Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm just a vibe. I don't know what that is, but it just needs a Benedict Cumberbatch. Is that kind of some kind of spell? Or...
Is it a breakfast?
No, I don't know. Let's get the boys in the lab on it.
Oh, just see
make
what
that
happens.
Happen, yeah.
But I remember they were courting Joaquin Phoenix quite heavily.
Oh,
and he was
yeah.
going into comic... We talked about this. Mm. And he was going into comic shops and buying all... So their official story is they always wanted Benedict Cumberbatch and he couldn't do it.
Right.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I think they threw it out to four or five people. Maybe they had one particular in mind, but it's interesting now that as soon as like it's done, they're like, oh, they're not going to come out and go, well, yeah, he did a good job, but, you know, wouldn't we have rather have had... We wanted Joaquin
Phoenix right.
and he wouldn't do it because he... pretended to go mad for a period of time.
Oh, he did too, that's right.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, I think Benedict Cumberbatch is a great choice.
Mm.
But I just don't buy that.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So there's at least four or five of the four or five people they got picked for this role.
Mm.
There's got to be one guy out there with a voicemail from Kevin Feige going, we need you, you're the best choice, we've got to have you, are you busy, what are you doing, kind of thing. He's got it ready, they've got it locked and loaded.
Here's some pocket money to go down and get some comics.
Yeah.
That's not us.
Yeah, so that's some good blackmail material. So if Joaquin Phoenix shows up in another role,
yeah.
you know it's because he went, hey Feige, I got the tapes,
I got them tapes, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He's the only man in Hollywood with an answering machine. Other than Bill Murray.
Yeah. Well, he went mad.
He went mad. I forgot.
He bought hundreds of answering machines.
That's right. Now, I didn't watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premiere this week because I'm waiting to see whether it gets really good. And then I'll go back and I'll watch them all.
Uh-huh.
But I watched the Ghost Rider clip and that looks incredible.
See, I haven't watched it. I'm going to go back in.
Okay, good.
I know I've sworn off.
Because you were like, they can't get me with Ghost Rider.
But then I saw some animated GIFs on the internet of some flamey wheels rolling around. And I'm like,
and the
head
looks real good.
Yeah,
there's a fight.
Pretty good. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mm.
Mm. I saw Quake versus
Ghost Rider
and I'm like, I'm going to save it.
Yeah, fair
I'm
going
to see it in context and see what happens.
I think they might have... I mean, if this goes well, they might have cracked the code for Ghost Rider, which is don't make a movie. Just put him in a TV show. Mm.
They already cracked the code for Ghost Rider, was put him in Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance and have Nicolas Cage
play
him.
That's right. You love that
movie.
It's
amazing.
Yeah.
Also, I'm kind of hoping for a race between Agent Coulson in Lola, the flying shield car from the 60s, and the Ghost Rider car. I don't know if Lola still exists or it's been destroyed or they lost it in budget cuts or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Because I haven't watched it in like 2 years. But
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to wait and see how that goes. But no, he looks terrific. Mm. There apparently was talk that they wanted to get Nicolas Cage back. That's a rumor, but I don't know if
we'll have to check his voicemails.
We certainly will. Mm. Yeah. Did you watch the trailer for Passengers? I should have probably checked whether you did before
I did. Actually, before I forget, and if we're talking about trailers,
yeah.
I forgot to mention this last week. I even wrote it down, but then I forgot to read the thing that I wrote.
Right.
Which is, lesson learned, don't write anything down.
I was going to say, you never write things down.
Exactly.
What are you doing?
It comes out of my brain pan into my fingies, and then I write it down, and then it's out of my brain forever. So
sure.
Yeah.
Like a pensive.
Exactly.
It's Harry Potter thing.
Oh, okay, right, gotcha. like a pensive. Okay. Last week, our friends over at 8-Bit Trailers, who do trailers they take an existing trailer and they do like a retro-style video game version of it. They did a version of the Justice League teaser.
Yes.
The one with Icky Thump and there's a man and he gives you fish, that one.
Yeah.
And when you in that trailer, it's on joblo.com they're on YouTube channel. Mm. And when we go to the Flash's hideout,
yes.
There's some graffiti on the wall and it is all Weekly Planet themed.
Absolutely it is.
Or some of it is. So there's a hashtag mullet for Superman.
Yeah.
There's a grab dat gem. There's an I love rap, which is
that's
for
your
me, I think,
favorite
which is PG rated graffiti, which is great. So thank you, guys over at 8-Bit Trailers.
Absolutely. That guy's name is actually John Stratman, mm-hmm. and you can follow him at Stratmaster.
Huh. Is he related to David Strassman?
Yes, he
famous
is.
Famous ventriloquist?
Yeah, he's the puppet.
Oh, yeah. Great.
No, but he actually, this is a hobby of his, and he obviously listens to the show, and I've actually spoken to him about we might be doing some a little bit of crossover Mason at some point. That's still early days, and it'll be at least a month away.
Oh.
But he does great work.
Trailers be the Weekly Planet.
Yes.
Ooh.
So it'll just be like a little thing, but no, he does great work.
Is he going to be taking some of the things I've said out of context?
Yes.
And just moving them around a bit?
Yeah, okay, all Yu-Gi-Oh great. Stuff.
Okay, yeah, good.
All Yu-Gi-Oh related.
I'll give you some stuff to work with.
That's yeah, great. Please. Mm-hmm. So, the Passengers trailer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What did you think?
Looks pretty good. Now, I am of the understanding that...
Yeah.
Has this movie been refilmed in any way or...
Well, I was like, here's the Passengers trailer. It's out in like 2 months.
Yep.
It's weird that we haven't seen anything.
Yep.
And I haven't actually confirmed this, but somebody on Twitter reached out and said there was a dispute between the special effects company and Sony.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why we haven't seen anything of it, because that was being resolved.
Oh.
So I just assumed that, maybe this is really terrible.
Well, because see, I got the... Because if you watch this trailer,
mm.
if these two people wake up on this ship.
Yes.
So it's a 120-year journey, and they wake up 30 years in, so they're potentially... stranded on the ship with nobody else for 90 years.
Yeah.
But I was of the understanding that in the original script, Chris Pratt's character wakes up and then he wakes her up.
I think that was in the original synopsis.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes him a psychopath.
Yes.
Or for, and in this trailer, he does say, there's a reason we woke up kind of thing.
So maybe
that's, yeah. Well, so maybe that's the, but I mean, based on this particular, maybe it potentially what they've done is they've put footage that is not going to be in the movie in the trailer where he wakes up on his own and then she wakes up on her own. But
yeah.
But in the actual movie. Do you think, is that a dirty move to deliberately mislead? I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends what the outcome is,
isn't
obviously.
It,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of the imagery in it. A lot of people have compared it to Sunshine as well.
It's
a great movie. Have you seen it?
Have
you mentioned
up.
It? You like it, don't you?
No.
That's not true. Surely
I'm not against it, but I'm not going to watch it again.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, good.
But no, you know, good-ish vibes.
Yeah.
That British guy who was in The Queen, who played Tony Blair as the
he was in the Queen
the robot.
Oh boy,
he was right up there.
But
he was he's the robot barman. He's got no legs.
Mm.
But that's okay, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
If you had to spend 90 years on a spaceship,
yes.
And who would you pick to be on there?
Out of Chris Pratt or Jennifer Lawrence?
No, out of anybody you know in this room. So you've got my dog or you've got me. But bearing in mind, only one of us can do a podcast well.
But also bearing in mind, it'll just be a constant, it'll just be you constantly referencing the film Sunshine. Like every time we walk past a window, you'll be like, remember the movie Sunshine? I'm like, oh.
No, if you had to pick anybody to be stuck 90 years with, who do you pick?
Do you have one locked and loaded here?
No.
Oh,
I really don't.
You've thrown it
well,
out
I'd
there.
Obviously pick my partner, obviously.
Oh, sure.
Because, I mean, I can't not, because if she hears this, and I didn't say that.
Oh, well, now you've thrown that
she'll
out.
She'll obviously murder me.
Well, now you've thrown that out and we're both on the hook. I'm going to say Jennifer Lawrence. Sorry, baby.
And you know what the good thing about Jennifer Lawrence is? She's just a regular person
like
us.
She's a regular. She falls over things. She's all silly and goofy.
How long do you think that would last if you're on a spaceship with her together? How many times would she do it before you're like, can you stop doing that, please?
Yeah, not 90 years. I'll give her that. Yeah.
Good on her. Bob Iger, Disney's Bob Iger, head CEO. He's the top one.
Okay, top dog.
Top dog.
Top mouse?
Yes.
Top duck.
That'll do. He says that Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it.
It's very much an experiment. And they're expecting that it won't do the same numbers as Force Awakens.
Okay.
And that's a really reasonable thing to say. To come out and be like, this is going to be the biggest move. Like, it won't be the Force Awakens.
Right.
It can't be. Yeah. Like, that is not possible. So I think that's interesting, though, that they're trying projects like this.
Yeah.
Because even if Rogue One doesn't work and it's shit, I still want to see movies like this. I don't want to see a Han Solo movie, then a Yoda movie. The only one I want to see, and then a Boba Fett movie. I only want to see Obi-Wan film. That's the only thing that I want to see. That's for me personally. But I like the idea of these stories, just getting away from the Skywalkers. So I really hope it works on some level, that we keep getting them.
I want to see a Lobot Solo film.
Sure.
Yeah.
Lobot and Lando together?
Yeah, Lobot Wars. Lobot Jocks.
You want to see him in Jocks?
Yeah.
In the back to tank.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that big diaper. He also mentioned that Star Wars movies are in development until 2020, which means the third spin-off movie is a lock, whatever that
is. Okay, sure.
Lobot. Yeah. Lobot Jocks.
Yeah.
And then 2021 and beyond, they're discussing. So I'm presuming they're gonna work out what
the
works.
Lobot wore tennis shoes. It's another. I'm just rhyming robot. I'm just trying to find
very good
others. It's interesting that he's gone the route of
iLobot. Sorry,
it's not as good as it. No, though. What? Because he's got a bloody backstory. He's got a rich backstory.
He does, doesn't he?
He's got a destiny. But it's interesting they've gone the route of, well, this won't
be. Bicentennial Lobot, sorry.
That's good. Wait, let's do one more. Cars, but it's Lobot. It's interesting they've gone the route of, well, this won't make as much money, because I would have thought that would set the internet aflame with people going, well, he says it's not going to make as much money because it's not as good.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. He knows it's bad and he's trying to,
cover up for damage control. But I think that's a completely reasonable thing to say. It's like saying, it's like the Avengers movies make more money than the Thor movies.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Yeah, it's a completely reasonable thing to say. Mm-hmm. He also mentioned they've pretty much planned out the 2020 Marvel movies upwards. We already kind of knew that, but that's interesting, I guess.
Is Inhuman still on the slate? Do we remember?
No, I think it's off the slate.
Okay.
You okay with that? Stop pushing it on us. We don't want it.
Okay, that's
true.
Do
we? I've been reading the Civil War 2 comic, and it started really promisingly, but it's just really kind of lost its luster.
Okay.
It's a little too, why are we doing this again? Who's fighting who?
Right,
team? Who stands for what? I like the idea of Carol Danvers and Tony Stark.
Yep.
I think that's a really interesting dynamic.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this story is going to pay off.
Also, Iron Man's got a really great suit right now.
He certainly does. Did you hear there was a
Transformy?
Yeah,
that's great.
There was an Iron Man reveal this week, which I won't spoil, about his heritage, but we probably won't get into that this week.
Let's get it off. Let's talk about it off.
Okay.
I was gonna say camera. There's no cameras here.
No, there isn't.
No, this
that we know about.
Do you still have tape over your laptop?
I do.
Okay, great.
You better believe I do, Mason.
No. Okay.
Have you seen Snowden, the movie?
Oh, no.
They're looking through. I haven't seen it either, but they're looking at you all the time, Mason.
Oh.
That microphone's probably got a camera in it.
Oh, jeez.
Your watch probably has a camera. Oh, you're not wearing it.
Not wearing it.
Yeah. Lucky.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm paranoid. I don't like the idea of a
you
camera.
You are paranoid.
Yeah, I know. I definitely am. What? You think that people can't look at you through your...
No, I think you're paranoid in other areas of your life.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the cameras. I think you're right about the cameras, if anything. But,
The broken clock is right twice a day, isn't it?
Isn't it, though? Yeah. The clock has a camera in it. That's why it's broken. It gets around to, 4 o'clock and the hand taps on the camera. It's in the four.
That's right. Mm.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Mason.
Speaking of Out of This World, I watch Cowboys and Aliens. In preparation for this, I watched a couple of things.
Good. Yeah. I'm excited to see what you've checked out.
Yes.
Now, the reason we're talking about this, obviously, Magnificent Seven is out in most parts of the world except here.
Yeah.
So we can't talk about it. We'll probably talk about it a bit next week, but it's also Luke Cage week, so we'll just see what takes
priority. Look, tell you what, if you've seen Magnificent Seven, let us know what you thought about it on the Twitters, at Wikipedia Brown, at Mr. Sunday Movies, and if you like, this is worth a whole episode, let us know.
Yeah.
But if you're like, nah, it's just fine, we'll probably talk about it.
Yeah, we'll do like 5 minutes
on it. We'll do 5 minutes on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks really fun. Good, right?
Yeah. I can't imagine, like, I don't think it's going to be amazing, but it looks like the Avengers with cowboys.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's got a skill.
Do you think that diverts too far from the Western? Like if it's a fun kind of, what do you think makes a good Western?
Can I just quickly say before we get into that?
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailers for Westworld?
Yes.
That looks amazing.
Right?
I cannot wait. Yeah.
What's that going to be on?
HBO.
Okay.
But also Pirate Bay.
Yeah.
I'd imagine if I knew what that was.
Mm.
Sorry, what were you saying? What makes a Western?
What makes a good Western?
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen.
Just that's it.
Okay.
What makes a good Western?
Well, I think
that's tough.
I mean, it's got
guns, hats, horses.
But I mean like thematically, or
doors,
like
saloon doors.
Yeah, saloon doors, all those things. But I mean, like what's the sense? Like when you watch a good Western, what's the sense you get about it? I get a sense of dread, and
right.
I get a sense of like
of death,
isolation.
Yep.
Like, because it's got to be like it's implied in the name. It's a Western. Like, it doesn't have to be specifically in the West.
No.
But I feel like it has to be like out West in the sense of like. You need your characters to kind of feel alone and isolated.
You're on your own.
You're
yeah.
on your own. The cavalry's not coming
no.
kind of thing. You know what I mean?
They're off fighting a civil war probably.
Yeah. Does it have to be set in Western times?
No, absolutely not. I mean, if you look at like No Country for Old Men.
Modern day-ish.
Definitely not. All the Pretty Horses, the Matt Damon one.
Oh, yes.
Which apparently the extended cut is really good.
Yep.
I haven't seen it. But no, absolutely not.
Mm, agreed.
You can, El Mariachi, that trilogy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, they're considered Western. So mm-hmm. no, absolutely not. I think it helps.
It helps, sure.
Yeah. In a lot of cases, but
yeah.
it's not definitive.
Yeah, but I think it is. It's that vibe, like
yeah.
it's that sense of, and I guess there've also been a lot of How do you feel about a remake of? See, I feel the further into the present you get, though,
yeah.
it's more difficult to make a Western
a good one.
Yeah, I guess in terms of like, you know, how can you be trapped in the little town?
Yeah,
you know, with all these, you know. Surrounded on all sides, when you can just call an Uber.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of there, you know
that's
what I mean?
Exactly right.
Yeah. So I think like what? No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
I guess the, in terms of like the back roads, like stuff can also be
right.
On the back
absolutely.
Roads
yeah.
Like, yeah. Like No Country for
where
Old
it's
Men.
It's like oh, myself.
Yeah.
Do you think it's getting to the point where it's annoying where someone has to go? There's no cell reception. Like, do you have to have? You have to
no,
have it in
because,
every movie.
No, you know what? You can take that out of movies when there stops being bad cell reception in real life.
Okay, sure.
And it's 2016, and sometimes I'm like, I'll just check. Oh, I don't have an internet connection outside in this city. How did that happen?
It's like the old West out here.
It's like the old West out here, exactly, yeah.
Mm. Absolutely. Well, why don't we start on, if you've seen it, The Magnificent Seven. Which
the original.
Is, which is a remake of the Kurosawa movie. And
well,
then,
there are a lot of Kurosawa remakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Fistful of Dollars is a remake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of Yojimbo,
Star
I guess.
Wars. Sorry, Yojimbo, you're
yeah.
right.
And you, before we get to Magnificent Seven,
yeah.
one of my favorite Westerns, if we're talking Westerns that are sort of out of time.
Sure.
Have you seen Last Man Standing, Bruce
He's
Willis?
Yes, not for ages.
But that's a remake
yeah.
of Fistful of Dollars, basically.
Is it really?
Yeah, because
I
it's...
I did not know that.
Well, it's I think there might even be a like a writing credit for Yojimbo. Like it's
right.
based on Yojimbo because
okay.
it's essentially set in like Prohibition era, like the 1930s, mm. and Bruce Willis wandered like he's just a drifter and he's driving through town on his way to Mexico.
Yeah.
And he like looks the wrong way at a girl and like this gang comes up and it's like, no, she's gang property. And they like slash his tires and smash his windscreen.
And he's like, oh man.
Yeah, and they're like, you've learned your lesson now. And then he just tears them up. Like it's he just like he kills one of them and leaves the rest alive as a lesson.
Yeah.
And then another gang's like, well, you should become our enforcer kind of thing. And he just wrecks the whole like all
love
the,
it.
Kills everybody in the town. That is a and he's got, you know, he's got a instead of a pair of six shooters, he's got a pair of 45s.
Okay.
It's pretty great.
From the '90s, I assume.
96.
Yeah,
so this was
that.
Just in that era. This was before Bruce Willis was invulnerable in movies.
Right.
It
yeah,
was
yeah.
right in that like here's his point of difference is he's a guy who gets messed up.
Yeah.
And he does a bit. It's pretty
But he
solid.
Thinks what makes him a great character is he's cracking wise and he's from Brooklyn. That's Bruce Willis's understanding
nah,
of what
glass
makes...
in his feet. It's glass in his feet.
It's definitely
glass
in his feet.
Feet. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Mm.
But that is a.
That's like, I haven't seen that one in a long time. I'd have to check
get
that
back,
out.
Get back to it. It's
all right,
good.
I will.
I remember the action being very good.
Yeah,
maybe I'm misremembering.
But then there was pre-Matrix.
Pre-Matrix, exactly. That's the dividing line.
No, but there does exist some great action movies from there. I would argue that El Mariachi, no, it's not, Desperado has some pretty good gunfights, and that's pre-Matrix.
True, yeah.
That's like that's 96 as well, actually.
Yeah.
Do you like those movies? The El Mariachi movies. I haven't seen the original one.
Yep.
But I've seen the
Desperado
and Once
Upon a Time in Mexico,
which
yeah.
I didn't love. All I remember is Johnny Depp had a fake arm, and then
yes.
he got his eyes drilled out.
No, that one's real bad. Yeah. I don't know who greenlit any of that. I don't know who's responsible. At one point, Johnny Depp's character, who's a CIA agent, is wearing a T-shirt that says CIA on it,
right.
Like a joke novelty T-shirt from like a market store.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of fun.
Sure,
but yeah, like
there's not enough El Mariachi in that movie
that's
either.
True.
It's a Johnny Depp movie,
and I think yeah, like at that point, Robert Rodriguez had fallen in love with. No, I mean maybe he'd sort of. it was that point where people were like, you know what people really love is they love this sort of balletic action sequences and a lot of spinning around and a lot of...
Grab a chandelier and spin in a circle.
Yeah, and a lot of John Woo-ish kind of stuff. And he just went nuts with it. And I'm like, you don't need a blind CIA agent just having a little
gunning about.
Exactly,
Yeah, fair enough. Magnificent Seven.
Oh, yeah, back to that, all right.
Do you remember it? I remember it fondly, but I don't think it's fantastic. I'm like, it's fun.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But I don't think it's one of the best.
Was it an all-star cast
yes.
at the time?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the I think it was a lot of these guys before they really hit
Yul
big.
Brynner.
Yul Brynner, I think he did the sequel, and then he didn't, but there was like five or six
for a few Magnificent Sevens more.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And then he played a version of that.
In The King and I.
Yes, that's right. No, he played a version of that character in Westworld.
Yeah,
in the 70s.
That's right,
It's the same kind of gunfighter, which I think is great. That's really interesting. Mm. But it's got, obviously, Steve McQueen, Robert Vaughn. Mm-hmm. Robert Vaughn, is it?
It's
Robert Vaughn, yeah. And there's actually a remake of that in the 80s called Battle Beyond the Stars, which is a Star Wars knockoff, which is the Magnificent Seven in space, but it's Star Wars.
Huh.
It didn't do very well.
Right.
Yeah. But no, I think it's fun. I don't think it's great, though.
Yeah, I agree.
What else you got, Mason?
Oh, hang on.
Do you want to talk the Good, the Bad, the Ugly trilogy or whatever they're called?
Can we talk about John Wayne briefly?
Yeah, sure.
He's a weird racist and I don't like him or any of his movies. He's not a tough guy. He's just a guy pretending to be a tough guy.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Can't act.
I'm glad he's dead. No, I'm not all right.
No, I feel the same way about him. I don't know about the racist stuff. I was trying to think.
I'm like, oh, I love westerns and all that sort of stuff. That's exactly it. I'm like, well, I love this one and I love this one, and I'm trying to rack my brain thinking of a good John Wayne one.
I'm sure they exist.
Yeah, but
if you've got one, maybe tweet us.
Let us know.
But I'm not going to watch it.
No,
because I can't get past his acting.
Yeah,
I really can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm. Not a tough guy.
Not a
just
tough
a
guy,
very
exactly.
old guy.
Yeah,
always. But the Fistful of Dollars. The only one I've seen is Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is apparently the best one.
Ooh.
And I bloody love that movie, mate. It's got the great shootout.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's got the dude in the bath shooting a different guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Man, we're spoiling these, right? We've talked about this recently.
Yeah, we have talked about it. Yeah, the great Eli Wallach who passed away quite recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's the bad guy shows up.
Yep.
And he's like...
He monologues him
for a real long time about how I've been tracking you down for a long time.
And how you busted my right hand, so I'm to shoot at my left.
Out for revenge, and then just a gun comes out of the bath and just kills the guy, and he's like, if you're going to shoot, shoot.
Yeah.
Don't talk.
Absolutely.
Which, there's room for a good solid bit of comedy.
Definitely. And you see that's kind of carried over into, like, the Star Wars films, some of them. Until they changed him.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the Han Solo kind of move.
Yep.
And the Indiana Jones move where you just, like, shoot a guy instead of getting in a big sword fight.
What if every movie production company was like, we're gonna re-edit this so it looks like the bad guy shoots first in this Eli Wallach bath.
So he comes in and shoots
him. Yeah.
Just straight up. That's really hard to do. That would ruin
No, they
that.
Just have...
They do the CGI.
They just CGI and Eli Wallach dashes out of the bath briefly. You could. It'd be easier than the Han Solo one because you could just cover it with a big floofy thing of bubbles.
Yeah,
yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah,
I love the shootout at the end. Really tense. I wonder though whether I don't think audiences have the patience for. No, that's not true. I don't think it would necessarily play as well with modern filmmaking to have a scene that long.
Yeah,
because that shootout at the end. There's a really long just stare off.
Yeah.
It feels like 5 minutes.
Look,
it's probably not.
I think you could do it, but you'd have to do it Michael Bay style, where there's literally hundreds of other explosions happening around it. And you have to cut back. Like, you'd have to cut back to the stare off.
Do you want to see that though?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Do you like a Western that's kind of a meander? Or do you want it to be short and
sharp?
No,
I actually watched a Meander one last night because I'm like, I've got time to watch one.
Uh-huh.
And I watched Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, me too.
And that's a Meander and a half.
Yeah.
But that is a fucking great movie.
Absolutely it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel we shouldn't spoil that one because it's quite new.
Yes, yeah. But it came out about like the same month as Hateful Eight.
Yep.
But it's way better.
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
Much better.
And it's...
There's no music either.
Yeah.
If we're talking isolation, fear of death... No one's coming. You're on your own.
Primo.
That's the one. Mwah. Yeah.
Mwah, very good.
Yeah.
And great performances. Kurt Russell's looking great in it.
Not for the squeamish.
No,
say
that's,
that.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's, there's a little bit of, it's weird that, again, Westerns don't veer more into horror.
Right.
Because
yeah, yeah.
there is that isolation. There is that sense of, or like into weird genre stuff generally.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. No, I see what you mean. When I, because I did some reading on it afterwards, and it's weird that it is themed as a horror movie. I'm like, oh no, I guess it is a horror movie.
Mm.
But I didn't necessarily feel that. Well, not until kind of things kind of amp up.
Yeah.
But it's almost like Predator, the Western.
Right, yeah.
Really. But anyway, maybe we shouldn't touch
yeah.
on that.
Have you seen, this is not
more.
A Western, although, I mean, it's a horror film, but nothing, there's no horror elements. Have you ever seen Wake and Fright, the Australian movie?
No, I haven't.
It's about a guy who gets stuck in a one-horse kind of town in the 70s.
Right.
I think it's Jack Thompson.
Okay.
But it is, and he's just sort of trapped in this weird small town of just terrifying people. They're not overtly terrifying, but it's just this weird... It's on Stan.
From the 70s, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wake in Fright.
Wake in Fright. I feel like that's the name of a TV show as well.
You're thinking of The Walking Dead.
I am thinking of The Walking Dead. Yeah. That's a good one. If we're talking about Australian Westerns, I'm just trying to
Man
find...
Man from
here
Snowy River.
What a movie, what a series. Josh Lucas is in Man from Snowy River, the TV series. So is Guy Pearce, actually.
Huh.
There's actually a Guy Pearce one that I haven't seen that I want to talk about, though.
Okay.
There's an Australian There's an Australian Western called Red Hill. And it's set in the modern day.
Is it a sequel to Red Dog?
Correct.
Oh.
I hate Red Dog. People love Red Dog, but I do
it.
Not like it at
no,
all.
I've not seen it. I'm,
I'm sorry if you like Red Dog, but no. anyway, it's a modern Western with Ryan Quanten.
Quanten,
yeah.
Yep.
Who's kind of like the poor man's Chris Hemsworth.
I agree.
But
sure.
He's still good. Like,
yep.
It's the lesser known.
Uh-huh.
And there's this indigenous guy who comes back into town to murder everybody.
Yep.
And maybe there's more to it than what it is.
Uh-huh.
And it's about him gunning down everybody and Ryan Quanten, who's got a wife and a newborn kid, trying to kind of stop it.
Right.
It's from 2010. It's for the budget. Uh-huh. It's really great. There's a panther in it for some reason also, which doesn't maybe work. But
uh-huh.
No, I would recommend that as, it's not like this will blow your socks off, but it's just a solid Western.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in a solid Australian film, which I don't say very often.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Red Hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sequel to Red Dog.
Correct.
Okay. Wake in Fright is also called Outback, I think, in America. So
okay.
It down. So it's a school teacher.
Yeah.
And it's like Northern Exposure, but in a weird horror town.
Okay. Good.
But he has, because in exchange for like his education, he has to go to this small town.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, yeah, it's just a...
Just a bloody shit show,
just a,
mate.
Just a weird world.
Okay,
yeah. It's
good.
Not a Western, but there
it's
you
not
go.
A Western.
Hey, speaking of
Westerns,
good link.
What do you got?
No, I was going to talk about Cowboys and Aliens.
Okay.
I was going to because we're talking about genre stuff.
I keep on insisting that you've already seen that, but clearly
well,
you
I've
haven't.
Well, I've
seen
it now.
Yeah, and
I quite liked it.
Well, I guess because you were probably not expecting much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it looks well. Here's the thing about it. It's they've gone like full on with the Western.
Yeah.
And kind of like.
Not enough alien?
Not enough alien, but I mean, I think it would have worked better as just a Western.
Okay, so you know, who are they fighting?
Just
cowboys.
Each other.
Cowboys and.
Yeah.
Cowboys
just,
and cowboys.
Cowboys. Cowboys and Indians. Can't do that anymore.
No,
yeah.
You can't.
I don't know, but like it feels like it's got that, it's just dirty and it's kind of...
Okay.
You know that the opening sequence where he awakened? I mean, and I guess it's kind of... Oh, there's a mystery man and he doesn't... Yeah, there's some tropes and stuff like that.
Bit of that.
But he wakes up and he doesn't have any memory and he just lays into those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of... It feels kind of gritty
okay.
and real.
And you think it's the alien side of it that maybe lets
him... They feel kind of like cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And there's like a chase in the sky and they're jumping from ship to ship.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I think that's the side of it that lets it down.
Yeah, like if it was just... Daniel Craig versus
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, yeah, see?
Yeah.
And in just in this, you know, this town where he rules and
maybe it would have made some money.
Maybe, exactly. Just call it Craig versus Ford. Maybe they punch on for real. I would watch that.
They're both gruff.
Yeah. And
they Ford, both don't want to be there.
But I guess to me it works mostly because they're both playing it everybody in it's kind of playing 100% straight. Yes. Like, if any of them... Like, Harrison Ford appears to be having a little bit of fun.
Right.
I think. But they're both playing it, like, dead serious. That. And if they were, if anybody was like, what's alien? What's going on? Yeah. What kind of thing? I don't think it'd descend in a camp and it'd turn to garbage. But I quite liked it.
Okay.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. Well, that maybe I'll give it another go.
Okay.
I probably won't. Yeah. I saw that in cinema, yeah, when it came out. And I don't... I didn't hate it, but I don't have any... inkling to kind of go back and,
okay,
and watch it.
God.
If we can jump back into the Clint Eastwood westerns.
Yes.
Kind of a follow-up to those Sergio Leone westerns is Unforgiven, mm-hmm. which is kind of that character as a...
Based on the Metallica song.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of that character as an aging ex-gunfighter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's just kind of lost his edge.
Yep.
That is a fantastic western. That might be one of my favorites.
Okay.
Yeah, when was the last time you checked that one out? If you have at all.
No, I have, but it's been a very long time. It would have been like a Channel 7 midday movie.
Right, sure. No, it's directed by Clint Eastwood, and it's one of those things, where
No, I'm sorry, it wouldn't have been a midday movie. It would have been a Channel 9, maybe a 7:30.
Sure.
You know?
And an ad every 4 minutes.
Correct.
Yeah,
you really get the... No, you really get the sense of...
You know it.
Yeah, that's a meander.
Yeah, boy, is it.
When you factor in ads. Yeah.
But it's... and it's not even like... He's not even a great bloke. Which I also think makes a good western, where the people you're following aren't really good people.
Yeah, no,
but
I agree.
But you still root for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of last time I could, except maybe Gran Torino, where you can take Clint Eastwood seriously as like a tough guy. Don't get me wrong, he's a tough guy.
What's he done since Gran Torino?
I don't know. Not much. Probably one with where the president was.
Oh, yeah. He yelled at that chair.
Just, he did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's the last Clint Eastwood Western hurrah. I don't even know if he's done another Western since then. He probably has. But that's the last one that obviously sticks out in my mind. And it's definitely worth checking out. And he looks great.
Yeah.
That, if you're going to get him, people are saying, get him for Old Man Logan. That was the era.
Okay, yeah.
Anything past that, you can't do it. He's too old.
Yeah.
Like that absolutely works. Mm. So...
But I think you're right in the sense that it's kind of... Westerns a lot of the time have that kind of noir vibe where you don't have to be... The noir hero is the best man. He's the best man in his world. That's the idea of it. He's not necessarily the best person in the world.
No.
But in this situation...
He normally has some moral code.
Yeah.
But he's... Like, he's normally a little bit better than most other people.
Sure, right.
But he's still a shit bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to be. Otherwise, what are you going to be? Yeah, a dead man.
Yeah.
You're going to be the ugly or the good. Or,
exactly.
I don't know. What are we doing?
Speaking
of Westerns,
Mason. Oh, there you go. Great link again.
I should have linked it this way. Gene Hackman was the villain in Unforgiven, and he's also the villain in The Quick and the
Quick
Dead.
Quick and the Dead, there we go.
Which is a lot of fun.
There's two Quick and the Deads.
Is there?
There's the one with Sharon Stone.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Okay, I'm talking about the one with Sam Elliott, which
When's
came
that?
Out many
What's
years before. Like the 80s?
They're not linked.
It's a coincidence.
There's not a remake or anything.
No.
So the Quick and the Dead one from the 90s has Leonardo DiCaprio, Russell Crowe, Lance Hendrickson.
Yep.
I can't remember who else.
Yeah.
But it's... I think that's... That's an absolutely solid Western, because it's all gunfighting.
Yes.
It's like boss battles up until the end. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a whole lot of people facing off against each other in this tournament. And it's also maybe not every gunfighter is who you think they are
or
as skilled as they say they are.
Sure,
And some people kind of have surprise skills and some are quicker than others. And, you know, it's... I think it's one of those ones where it feels very dangerous and dirty and gritty, but it's also a lot of fun. I don't know if Sharon Stone was the best choice as the
for
lead.
The lady.
No, yeah, but I don't know. But she's still, you know what? She was still solid, but maybe a Sigourney Weaver would have kind of fit that role a little bit better.
Okay, I was going to say, who else would you have chosen?
Sigourney Weaver, Mason.
Yeah, okay, cool. So the one from the 80s was a TV movie, I think.
Okay.
I've seen it on video, but it's Sam Elliott and Kate Capshaw, is it?
Okay.
It's pretty
Kate Capshaw from... Being
Indiana Jones.
Steven Spielberg.
And yes,
Indiana
those,
Jones.
Two, those two things, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Good bloody stuff, Mason.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Sam Elliott,
you
ever seen Tombstone?
I've seen Ghost Rider, where he's the other Ghost Rider.
He is the other guy. I guess that's a Western.
Uh-huh. I have seen Tombstone.
With Kurt Russell again.
Yeah.
He does the best Western moustaches.
No, Sam Elliott does the best Western moustaches.
You're right.
Second place is Kurt Russell. All right, cool.
In the same way that Sam Elliott is the second best bouncer to
Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse? Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. And Kurt Russell is the rich man's Patrick Swayze.
Absolutely.
So it's a circle.
It's a bloody
circle.
Time's
a flat circle.
It certainly is. Mm-hmm. But there were two White Earp movies that year or that era.
White Earp?
One was White Earp with, what's his name? Costner.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've seen a good Kevin Costner Western. He's in a lot.
Yep.
But like Dances with Wolves is a chore. Like to get through.
Yeah, again, I think that's something I saw on Channel 9.
Yeah, I remember when I saw that, it was over two nights. It was that long.
Oh, they spread it. Wow. That's really amazing.
And that was in like the mid-90s or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I actually haven't seen White Earp, so I can't speak to it. But Tombstone is amazing, and a big part of that is Val Kilmer's performance as Buddy Holiday. Doc Holiday, yeah.
As Buddy Holly. He steals all the scenes because nobody understands why a rock and roller from the 1950s is in Tombstone. I've got to get my plane. Guys, get me to the airport.
But great gunfights.
Uh-huh.
And what stands out for me. Also, the villain, or one of the villains, is Powers Booth.
That's true. We've got to rework our mustache. I think our Latin.
He doesn't. Powers Booth doesn't work without a mustache.
That's true.
He needs a mustache.
But he's got to be in top five.
Yeah,
definitely.
I would say so.
Yeah.
But also, the other villain is the dude from Aliens, the main guy from Aliens, Hicks.
Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
And
he's fantastic in that movie as well.
That is a good one.
Yeah. And him and Buddy Holiday have a shoot off.
Yeah. I was going to say last week we said we were going to talk about best westerns.
Yeah.
This week, and Mika Valeu.
Yeah.
On Twitter said Doc Holiday Inn. Because it's Holiday Inn.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well,
instead
done.
Of stealing it for myself, but then I didn't.
You could have.
I could have. Even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to edit that so you stole it.
Oh no.
My favorite movie of all time, Mason.
Yes.
Or one of.
Wow.
If it's not Sunshine.
You know what? You were gonna definitively make a statement there, and then you pulled back.
I did.
Is it your favorite movie of all time or not?
It's my favorite classic movie.
Okay.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
That's true, yeah.
Before I started making this list, I'm like, I don't even know if I like Westerns. And then I'm like, I love Westerns. There's so many good Westerns.
There's so many good ones. We can do a second episode, probably.
Yeah, totally.
Of just going vaguely remembering things. We're great at it.
But Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, like Paul Newman and Robert Redford, what a combination. And what a story. Also, it's so weirdly structured. Like it's in like two kind of distinct parts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those meandering ones.
Yeah.
But it's the chemistry of bloody Butch Cassidy and Sundance, with Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Yes.
It's a shame that bloody Paul Newman died because I wanted them to do another movie together. They were supposed to do one together where they wandered through the forest and Nick Nolte ended up doing it, and it's not very good.
Is it a Western or is it just
wandering? It's just old men wandering in the forest.
Huh.
I think that's what it's called as well. Because they obviously did The Sting afterwards.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything else together.
Yeah.
Even though they were good friends, Mason, apparently.
Oh.
But what a fantastic movie. And the way it starts off where the big moment in the first act is they just get chased across the landscape or wherever the hell they are, I can't even remember, by this band of guys who just want them to stop, who have been hired to stop them from robbing trains.
Right.
And it just keeps going and going and going, and they're trying to shake these guys and they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it really amazing and fascinating.
Ooh.
But there's also the bit where they're standing in front of the train carriage and it explodes.
Yes.
And they're really standing there.
Yeah,
but stuntmen.
Yeah.
But so many splinters to the face.
Oh, gee whiz.
Like that is an explosion and a half.
Yeah,
man.
You can't do that these days.
No, you really can't.
Yeah. Mm.
And you feel it like it's like teeth rattling. Yeah.
You ever watched I think they did it on Mythbusters. They were like, we're going to blow this up with like Hollywood explosion. And we're going to blow this, a similar thing, like a car up. And then we're going to blow it up with a real demolition explosive.
Yeah.
There's no competition.
Which is a bit, Hollywood explosion's bigger?
No.
Oh, really?
Demolition explosion's bigger.
Oh, right.
Like Hollywood explosion, like,
it's more flashy.
Yeah, it's more flashy. Like you blow up a car and like the doors fly off and it like pops up or whatever. Demolition explosion, there's just nothing. Like there's less pyrotechnics, there's less fire.
Yeah.
But it's just reduced to nothing.
Shrapnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, speaking of Robert Redford, he does a lot of meandering movies. Have you ever seen Jeremiah Johnson? It's from
no,
the 70s.
I haven't, no.
And it's a meanderer of a Western.
Yeah.
It's kind of It's more contemplative. It's kind of here. I'm an outdoorsman, and I mean, his family are murdered, and etc.
All that,
and there's revenge.
Blah
but
blah blah.
But it's because he it's filmed in his like his adopted home state, which is because you know he bought Sundance. Like
he
Sundance.
Did. Yeah.
It's the first. It was the first film filmed there.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of. It's a nice. It's an, you don't watch it on TV with ads because it'll go. It'll be have to be split over several nights.
Yeah,
but it's
I've never even heard of this. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a yeah. It's, I guess it's one of the forgotten ones, which is weird because it's Redford.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's kind of
he made a lot of movies.
Yeah, that's, I guess that's true. Now that I think about it, and he made a lot in the '70s. So,
yes, he did. Yeah.
But it's weird because the character is based on a real life guy called Liverita Johnson.
Is that what they call him in the movie?
No, he's just called... It's not... He's
you can't call a guy Liverita Johnson.
No, it's not mentioned at all.
Yeah.
But he's based on... There's no liverating in the movie.
No, well, what's the point, Mason?
That's what I'm talking about. Gritty reboot. This is what we want.
But it's a meandering affair.
It's kind of a meandering affair.
Okay,
yeah.
fair enough.
It's kind of... There's a lot of, I guess... There's a lot of beautiful vistas.
Well, that's what I like.
Because he's like...
Look at this vista.
Look at me. I own Sundance.
I'm a rich man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good on him, mate. I like him.
Yeah. So, but Liverita Johnson was a real guy who would eat the livers of his enemies. Supposedly.
He doesn't need to do that, does he?
No.
They're dead,
they're
probably.
Dead. Yeah. Also, eating livers will kill you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how...
That expedition died.
They ate the dog livers. They ate the dog livers, yeah.
And they died, yeah. Was it the Arctic expedition? I can't remember what it was.
Who knows?
Good luck, whoever you were.
Yeah,
well
good
done.
Yeah.
Eating a liver. Don't eat a liver. You can eat liver, though.
Yeah.
Like, you can eat... I think it's certain animals. Like
not
you can't
not
eat liver.
Sled dogs.
Not sled dogs, it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a handy hint.
Speaking of sled dogs...
There we go.
No, I don't have a link.
The movie Snow Dogs.
Actually, I was going to say, well, speaking of sled dogs and expeditions, have you seen The Treasure of the Sierra Madre?
I have not seen
it's
The Treasure
black and
of
white
the
one.
Sierra Madre.
It's not strictly a Western...
Then get it out of here,
no,
mate.
It's,
no, what
I
do you mean
you
by
might,
that?
Well, you might call it a neo-Western. It's not like cowboys and Indians and shootings.
Right, right.
But it's set in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it's Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
And somebody else who I can't recall.
Bogart.
It's not pronounced Bogart. How dare you?
Sorry, go on.
Oh, what if it was, though? Oh, I'm back on board, actually, now that I think about it. Tim Holt is the other guy's name. And Walter Huston. So it's directed by John Huston, famous director.
Mm.
And he's got his father, Walter Huston, in it.
Okay.
And John Huston's the father of Angelica Huston.
Right,
know
right.
As Morticia Adams.
I do know her.
I mean, other things also.
That's all I know.
A storied career, but Angelica Huston. But it's basically Bogart. Yeah, Bogart and Tim Holt are like these two down and out guys in Mexico.
Right.
And they sort of they meet in like a halfway house. They meet Walter Huston, who's this old prospector, and they decide that they're going to head deep into Mexico and like prospect for gold and find gold and sort of make their fortune that way.
Yeah.
And they run into like Mexican bandits. And Mexican bandits who are posing as federales who want, you know, to them to, you know, this illegal prospecting and gold mining out
no
of
wonder
way.
They're building that wall.
That's
dangerous times, mate.
Exactly. And then they run into real federales and then and it's great because like alliances shift over the movie.
Okay.
You're like, oh, these are a couple of good guys.
This is from the '50s?
This is from like 1948. So
okay,
it's black
right.
and white.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you lost me, but go on.
Well, here's the thing. Every once in a while you run into a movie that's in black and white that's from pre The Matrix.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. This is one of my favorites. Like,
okay.
But alliances shift show you're like, oh, these maybe they're all great. You know, they all seem like good guys. They're
yeah,
just
yeah.
down and they're like, but maybe they're not.
Maybe they're
a bunch of real pricks. Who's to say? But like, there's some actually some really good action sequences. There's one early on, like they you know they're guys down on the like they're just sort of panhandling kind of thing, and they meet like a well-to-do like dandyish gentleman who's like, well, why don't you come and work for me, like work in this mine, and you know, honest day's work for an honest day's pay kind of thing. And it's these two guys and like a whole bunch of other people get on the ship and they head out there and they do, you know, they work on this in this quarry and it's backbreaking labor,
right.
And then they come back. And the guy's like, they haven't delivered the checks. I'll just go to the bank and I'll work, you guys stay here kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he just takes off and like they learn later that he does this to all the new guys in the town. He just gets him to do the labor and then he runs out on him. And then they run into him in the street and he's like, come in here, have a drink with me kind of thing. Like, how about I pay you now? I'll pay you 10% now, and I'll pay you the rest later, and have a drink on me, kind of thing. And they're like, "No, no, we're settling this now."
Yeah.
And then he's this big, imposing, like man in this suit and hat and kind of thing. And he just glasses one of them, and he tries to like make a break for it. And they just like it's this. It's this action sequence where it's like these two desperate men,
yeah,
like trying to just like get what they deserve, yeah, from, yeah, this guy, mm, and they just pound him. But it, like, it's this fight, like, it's all kind of one shot fight sequence, yeah, and it could go either way, and you just feel for these guys, like these desperate guys who just want to, mm, get what they're owed, kind of thing.
And that's what a lot of fight scenes are lacking, like, yeah, a reason for fighting, yeah, yeah.
And but they, like, it's not really, this is early on in the film, it's not, yeah, really a spoiler, but he's got them both down and you think he's going to take off, and one of them like grabs for his legs and the other guy gets in,
yeah,
and they just paste him and they leave him like a bloody heap on the ground, and they just grab his wallet out of his jacket pocket and they take the money they're owed and they throw the rest back in his face and they, nice, just sort of take off, and I'm like, whoa,
that's great.
Feels great.
Okay. What was, yeah, that called again?
The Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a real good one.
Well, Mason, if we're talking great westerns from the 90s.
Good segue.
Pre-Matrix, sorry. If we're talking, yeah, pre-Matrix westerns, Young Guns, I haven't seen it. Is it crap? Probably.
I haven't seen it either.
All right. Well, look, do you want to quickly talk about some western comedies?
What I enjoy about these when we go specific is I'm sure there are many people out there, and this is their, like, they're like, these guys, this is my genre. I love it. These guys are going to make a hash of it, and we do.
Every time. Comedies. Three Amigos.
Yeah, yes.
Which is kind of loosely based on Magnificent Seven.
Yep.
Funny, funny movie, man. Uh-huh.
And will hopefully be remade by the four ladies from Ghostbusters, if I have my way. It's us, the Three Amigos, all four of us.
Blazing Saddles.
Great.
Which we talked about recently. And A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Is that Rob Schneider?
No, that's... Oh, that's... You're thinking of Ridiculous Six. Yeah. No,
that's the one with Seth MacFarlane. Yeah. Have you seen that?
I have. There's...
Were you tricked into seeing it?
It's okay. It's not like... You hated Ted, didn't you?
Yeah.
I don't think it's worse than Ted.
It had one joke in it.
Yeah, but I think the one joke that I really like, they spoil in the trailer, and it's the Doc Brown shows up.
Yeah.
Like, he knocks on the door and he's working on the DeLorean. Uh-huh. Like, it's really great. But it's just like... It's not as bad. I don't think it's as bad as people say, but I could see why it didn't make money. Uh-huh. It's weird because when I see a trailer for a Western now, I'm just like, oh, whatever. But I actually, like I said, I do like Westerns, but I feel like there's so few and far between the really good ones.
Mm.
A good modern one, 310 to Yuma remake.
310 to Yuma, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Christian Bale has half a wooden foot or something.
That's right. Yeah. But it's the back part,
is
which
it?
Is weird. No,
I
I'm kidding.
I don't.
Why would it be? He's got real leg up to the ankle, wooden ankle,
I thought you meant the heel. I thought you meant just the heel.
No. How do they get them? They reattach the meat.
Who knows?
You just got rotten toes.
Yeah,
the end.
That's right. Yeah,
that'd be great.
That's my real foot. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
but no, that's a Russell Crowe Western.
That's
as
true,
well,
yeah.
And it's a fantastic.
Why wouldn't it be? He's the greatest actor in the world.
Correct, but Christian Bale is also a very good actor.
Mm. Not the greatest actor in the
that's
world.
That's true. If he had to choose, if Russell Crowe had to choose, he would say that he's the greatest
correct,
actor.
He would, yeah. Mm.
Look, I don't really remember it that well, but I remember loving it when I saw it at the time. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are Western's movies you go back to? Are you one and done with Westerns?
No, I'll definitely go back. Most of these, I'm like, I will definitely go back to this. Like, I want to go back to Unforgiven. I want to go back to Butch Cassidy again.
Mm-hmm.
Dances with Wolves is obviously, it's a two-parter, but I'll, yeah, nah, I'm not going back. Right. I really want to watch Tombstone again.
Yeah.
So, no, some of them, for sure, yeah. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, give him a shot, mate.
Give it a whirl, bloody hell.
Did you see The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford?
No.
Talking about a meander, mate. But yeah, it's really great.
Okay. How is it a meander, though?
It's very, very, very long.
How much assassinating is there?
One.
How much lead up to assassinating?
Many days.
Is there, at any point, a scene where the assassin goes to, like, a stagecoach and Jack Black's in it and Jack Black supplies him with the guns? The Jackal style?
That is not a thing that happens.
Oh.
I think that's something that's obviously missing from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, but, you know,
but it's Brad Pitt, right?
Yeah, it's Brad Pitt. It's Casey Affleck.
Okay.
It's the
Casey Affleck's the coward Robert Ford.
It is, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. The thing about these movies are, it's not something I'm like, you'll have a great time.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's a fun ride.
Yeah.
It's non-stop action. Mm. Most of these are just like, they're meandering. They're contemplative. Yeah. There's an occasional horrible gunfight.
Yeah.
Somebody gets a splinter and dies.
Like, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I love... Yeah, exactly.
Someone has gonorrhea or whatever.
Do you think it's a true Western if it doesn't end in a two-man shootout?
I think most of these probably don't end in a two-man shootout.
But some of them are pretty
good,
right?
But some of them do have a...
Yeah.
There's the shootout, the OK Corral in... bloody, what's it called? Tombstone, yeah, which is great. So sometimes there's a multiple men shootout. Also, the thing about this era that I kind of love.
Yes.
And it's the same kind of thing, The Matrix, not The Matrix, Game of Thrones sort of has.
Yeah.
Where anybody can die at any second.
That's true.
If it's done well, because it's so, like, you could get shot in the shoulder and die. Which that's is how it would be, because you get an infection and you die, and it's over a period of weeks. Do you know what I mean? Like, you lose a leg, and then, you know, they have to, you know, you get shot in the leg and you have to cut your leg off or whatever. Like,
And that I also love the sense of lawlessness.
Yes.
Like the sense of, it's, everything's illegal. It's kind of a legal gray area.
Right, right.
Like, maybe you can shoot a guy and get away with
depending
it.
Depending who the guy is.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. It's in True Grit. Not the John Wayne one. I'm presuming that's terrible. Maybe it's amazing. I don't know.
Nah.
True Grit's great, though.
It is great.
Yeah. Mm. People say that, some people say, though, they enjoy the John Wayne performance more than the, what's his name? Jeff Bridges performance.
Okay.
But I can't speak to that.
I cannot imagine enjoying a Jeff Bridges performance less than a John Wayne performance.
Do you think Jeff Bridges does a bit too much now, based on this? Like, he's just carried it with him? It's his Pacino, it's his hoo-ah.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think he does a bit too much of it?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
I think you're watching the wrong movies.
Maybe you're watching the wrong movies.
How dare you? You're not watching Tron Legacy as much as I am.
That is certainly true. Mm. Though I did start it the other day on Netflix, and I went, no, I remember this, and I turned it off.
Oh, wow.
It's fine.
You're missing out, man. It's great.
I've seen it. I'm not missing out. No, I have seen it.
No, you're missing out because you didn't watch it again.
Does No Country for Old Men count? Did we talk about that?
Yeah,
about
that counts as a Western.
What about, what's that one called? Blood. There Will Be Blood. That's sort of a Western. It's more prospecting and oil. It's the bloody,
yeah, it's got all the trappings of a Western
stuff, but it doesn't feel like a Western in the same way. Because it's not shootouts and...
Yeah.
And bad guys roll into town. It's a man stealing other people's oil and descending into mountains.
Like, I guess if you changed oil to...
Guns.
No, I was going to say if you changed... Yes. But if you changed oil to, like, shares?
Yeah, sure.
Like, and you said it in the modern day.
Bonds and stocks.
Bonds, yeah.
If you change oil to a man holding onto a chandelier with his feet and spinning in a circle shooting a room full of guys, then, yeah, I guess it's a Western in that way.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But it's obviously that era, but it does. But it's not a lot of hats, is it?
No,
or maybe
true,
there is a lot of hats. Mm. Have you seen that? You probably have, I assume.
I have, yes.
What a fantastic movie. The Proposition I haven't seen.
Uh-huh.
That's an Australian Western with Guy Pearce and Robert Pattinson. And apparently it's amazing. And that's one of the ones I wanted to get to before this show, but I didn't get around to it.
I'm going
to
write that down. I'll write it down. I'll write it down right now.
You write it down. You use that pen of yours. Yeah. Look at your pen and your book.
Yeah.
Why don't you go back to the 1930s, you dumbass? Get in your penny farthing and fuck off.
Whoa.
Sorry, that was unnecessary.
No, that's all right. But and the soundtrack's by Nick Cave.
So yes, it is. That's an amazing...
That's a thing that I know.
An amazing man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else here on my list. I think I've covered most of my
big
ones.
Look, here's one that I mentioned ad nauseum. It is a Western, The Rundown. It's a Western.
The Run... Which one's that?
Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, The Rock.
The Rock and Sean William Scott.
I love The Rock. Yeah. I mean, I love that movie.
And Christopher Walken's in it.
Yeah.
It ends with a... Yeah, because he's a man, he's wandered, well, he hasn't wandered in a town.
No.
But he's gone into this isolated...
It is
a
Western.
There's no help, there's no cavalry coming, it's just him and Sean William Scott and the weird biplane pilot guy. And Rosario Dawson. Yeah.
And Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Except they took out the bit where Christopher Walken gets shot in the gun.
And he goes, ow!
Yeah, it's in the trailer, but it's not in the movie.
Yeah.
And The Rock uses that, like... cocks a shotgun on a cow at one point.
It's great.
Or might it be two shotguns?
Yeah, it is two shotguns.
Yeah.
He's a because if he only had one, he could just do it himself.
Yeah.
But he's a reluctant hero. He's gone into town to rescue, retrieve this guy.
Yep.
And he's just, it's a town that's lorded over by a Christopher Walken type. And he's, you know, he's built his own law, but it's no good.
That's right.
And this guy just wants to get in and get out, but then his morals take over and he's like, I guess I have to kill everyone.
And at the very start, he fights a whole NFL team and hits a guy in the back of the head with a turntable.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, so good.
From a distance.
There's a bunch of whip guys.
There's so many whip guys. Oh, there's one whip guy.
No, there's...
No, he's got two whips.
Yeah, but there's at the end, there's more than one
whip
guy.
There's more than one whip guy. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch this again. Yeah.
There's a little person runs through the bar.
Oh, right.
The fight
starts, right. Yeah.
Which is the modern day equivalent of the piano player stopping.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Apparently Magnificent Seven has that.
Great.
The new one. It has the piano stop.
Nice.
Which is a trademark of the Western.
Do you think the modern people seem to be enjoying it.
Sure.
But do you think the modern reinterpretation of the Western, like if it just takes too many action movie tropes, do you think it's...
Yeah, I think it loses something in it. And I think that's probably what The Magnificent Seven is.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
But then you overcompensate by adding in Piano Player.
Yeah, that's right.
And like Derringer in the bloody... In the And the boot and the
boot and whatnot. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We can go to some listener ones, though.
Okay, I'd like to hear them.
This one is actually a lot of fun. This is from Glenn. Maverick.
That is fun.
Yeah.
Glenn is a fun name.
It certainly is. Maverick, it's a shame that Mel Gibson is a dickhead, but he's a super charismatic one, which I'd totally agree with. Have you seen Maverick? Which is, it's actually a sequel to the original show.
Huh.
With James Garner, who I bloody love, mate. He's great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is he in The Magnificent Seven? I don't know if that's actually a sequel.
So wait, so who's Maverick? Who is the Maverick in Maverick?
Okay, to spoil it,
please.
But this is this.
Wait,
is
a, don't spoil a movie that came out in 1987 or whatever.
But this is from. I don't think he is in the. Maybe he's in The Magnificent Seven. I don't know. Anyway, I'm gonna look that up. I need to know.
Yeah,
because I love bloody James Garner because he's great in Great Escape.
It's true.
I might be thinking of James Coburn.
Uh-huh.
But anyway,
you are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. What is it?
One of Bruce Lee's students.
Right. Yeah. Weird, right?
Along with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Together at last, yeah. I say.
Did you know that Kareem Abdul... Because I was walking past Minotaur, which is Melbourne's biggest and...
It's just Melbourne's biggest.
Yeah, it's just
whatever
Melbourne's
it
biggest.
Is, it's whatever the biggest one.
But it's like, you know, when I was going to say it's Melbourne's biggest comic store with its most disaffected staff. We're just like, I'm buying this. What do you think? And they're like, I don't know. I don't want to engage. But I was going past them and in the window.
They don't want to get into arguments with nerds. Yeah. I get it.
No, I understand too. But in the window, they had Mycroft Holmes comic book written by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because he's a massive Sherlock Holmes
fan.
Really? Did you know that?
That guy's full of surprises.
He's a massive Sherlock Holmes fan, literally, because he's very tall.
Very good.
Very tall.
And he's in Scrubs at one point. Yeah.
And an airplane. Flying high.
Right.
You've not seen Airplane.
No, never.
What?
I know.
I'm not that guy, but what?
It's not a Western, though, is it?
No, that's
so
true.
Why would I seen it?
Not mention it at all.
But okay. Maverick, it turns out that Mel Gibson and James Garner meet up and they go on this cruise together. And Mel Gibson plans to steal all the money from the poker game that's playing. And Jodie Foster's in it as well and whatever. Uh-huh. And it turns out that James Garner is the original Maverick.
Ooh.
And Mel Gibson is his son.
Huh.
Yeah.
But
Son of Maverick. So Mel Gibson is called Maverick. So it's kind of revealed at the end that, you think that they've just gotten James Garner because he was in the original TV series.
Right.
But it turns out it's the same guy.
Yep.
Which is, so it's really cool.
Hey, speaking of amazing westerns based on original TV series.
Yes.
Wild Wild West. I just thought of it. What do you think of that movie?
I've seen it in bits.
What? You never saw it at the cinema?
No.
Huh.
Even at the time, I'm like, I'm not seeing this.
Really?
Yeah.
But that was bloody Will Smith fever.
I know.
He was charming. He was Will Smith and about. He'd just done Men in Black, probably.
And I love Kevin Kline.
He's always doing a rap at the end of his movies that summarise what the movie's
Suicide
about.
Suicide Squad nearly had a rap.
Yeah.
Which I heard recently.
Wow.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah, balls. Someone's got, No UH. I don't know how to say that. Said Cowboy Bebop. Very good.
Ha ha.
Lone Ranger from Dude Bro McDoodley says, horrifying. That's the only West Night I've watched, unless the Zorro movies count. I liked The Lone Ranger, the new one. I think it's a bit of a bloody romp, mate.
In what sense did
Well,
you
I
like
went
it?
To see it with some people, and it was with some older people.
Yep.
I was in a group of old people. Uh-huh. Don't ask me why. But
why?
I don't know. It's just friends, family, friends, and whatever. Oh, you know how it is.
All right.
And they're like, oh, we should see the Lone Ranger. And I'm like, no, we shouldn't. We definitely shouldn't see the Lone Ranger.
Yep.
So I'm thinking it's going to be total garbage, but it's kind of fun.
Mm.
I mean, Johnny Depp's weird makeup and crow, I don't like any of that. And he's running about. There's a lot of that.
Uh-huh.
Like, he just Jack Sparrows it. But Armie Hammer, man, is solid in it. I think it's worth seeing.
Mm.
Matt Williams says, I like both versions of 3:10 to Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
Not a movie, but Red Dead Redemption is fantastic.
Ben Foster's great in 3:10 to Yuma.
Yeah,
as well,
he is, isn't he?
Speaking
he's
about,
really yeah. good, yeah.
He's got a great jacket.
And teeth.
He does have teeth.
So quick, creepy teeth?
Yeah, he does,
am I thinking of a different movie where he's got creepy teeth? The vampire one. He's got bad teeth in that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Fraser Baxter says, not a movie, but Red Dead Redemption is fantastic. Absolutely it is. Have you ever played that? That's a Western and a half, that bloody
video game,
mate.
Oh, I've never played it,
mate.
But no,
it's
I'm
good.
On board.
Josiah says, it has to be The Good, The Bad, and blah, 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 or Back to the Future 3. That is a Western, isn't it?
Mm.
We talked about Hateful Eight, didn't we? A few people have said Hateful Eight, including Gopal.
I'm largely indifferent.
Yeah, me too.
Mm.
What about Django? What do you think of Django?
The Django Unchained or the original Django?
I haven't seen the original.
Neither have I. Should we get onto it, right?
Maybe. What do you think?
That's also a remake of Yojimbo.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so.
You know, there you go, mate.
Just can't stop. Get a bloody original idea, the Western's film industry.
You can't.
Can't do it, yep.
But I didn't I like Django. I think I need to see it again.
That's a full act too long, that movie.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'd agree with that.
And it taught Quentin Tarantino that you can have a movie that's a full act too long and just keep doing that.
Well,
apparently.
His editor died.
Oh,
she died.
Whoops.
I don't know whether that was the last one or what. KB Photography says Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman. Yep. Oh, Morgan Freeman's in that, isn't he? Mm. I forgot that.
Yeah.
Drew Lama says greatest Western ever is Three Amigos. Silverado 1985, probably because we studied it and I took media back in high school. That's from Orion.
That is fascinating that a movie you studied is a favorite movie of yours.
Because that kills things for you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jamie Coy says Young Gun. Surprisingly much of Lincoln Country War / Billy the Kid details are correct. There you go. I don't think that era of actors where like, you know, they're like, this is Emilio Estevez, this is buddy, yeah. This guy's coming, yeah. they're cool guys.
Were the frat pack, were they the frat pack?
They were the brat pack.
They're the brat pack, yeah. Okay. The frat pack, Seth Rogen.
Right? Is it? Okay.
And his friends.
Yeah.
It's Franco and Rogen and Jonah Hill, it's those guys.
He's one, yeah, oh, okay, right. Mm-hmm. When do you think, that? Do you think we're due for another comedy troupe coming through? It's
the
about now, isn't it?
Scat pack. Yeah, that's right. We need a few more years.
Yeah, but I think we're nearly due for one because I think it was kind of your what's his name, Adam Sandler and all that. That was in the 90s, and maybe Jim Carrey, but he's not really in a pack. Mm-hmm. But it was your Adam Sandler guys, and then it was like your Will Ferrells and your Ben Stillers and your Owen Wilsons, and then it became your Francos and whatever. And I think we're nearly due for another one.
Okay.
Who knows who it's going to be, Mason?
Mm.
Didrick says, Cowboys and Aliens. Just kidding, that movie was crap, he says.
Oh, you're on my list.
You made the list, yeah. A lot of people saying 3:10 to Yuma.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Colin Thomas says, The Gunfighter, classic Gregory Peck, immortalized by the Bob Dylan song Brownsville Girl. I haven't actually seen that one. Gregory Peck's good though, isn't he? Gregory Peck.
Yes.
I'll hit you with my ring hand. You seen that?
No.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Easily Tombstone from Fraser. True Grit remake, Good, Bad, the Ugly. Mm. Django from Tristan.
What's Hayley Steinfeld done since then? She's a pop star now, I think.
Is she? No, she's got a movie coming out where she was in high school when Woody Harrelson's the teacher. It looks really funny.
Okay.
Can't remember what it's called, but it's not out yet. Or it is, I don't know.
Great.
Has Woody Harrelson done a Western? Surely.
You'd think so. Google it real quick.
I will.
Okay.
You want to read a couple more while I'm...
Well, I was going to say, did you know that Blazing Saddles is the first movie that had an audible farts in it? Did you know that?
Why would I know
For
that?
For real. No, because it's a fun little fact. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I guess that's
And weirdly...
Yeah.
I didn't see it on TV. I saw it on video. But in the TV... Apparently in the American TV release, because it's around the campfire scene.
Yeah.
They cut all the farts out.
But that's the point of that scene.
Correct.
So it's just soundless. It's,
yeah.
And just fire just...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's in The Duel with Liam Hemsworth. Haven't seen it.
No, no one's seen that.
Yeah. I wonder how many blockbusters that went to.
No one's seen that movie.
That was a 2016.
Not even Miley Cyrus has seen that movie.
90% Rotten Tomatoes.
He's like, hey, do you want to see my latest movie? And she's like, nah.
Nah.
I'll be fine. Thanks.
I think that'll do it though, Mason.
Okay, great.
But if you've got a Western, that's
if you've
your
got favorite. If you've got a John Wayne, maybe specifically,
yeah,
that's great. Let us know.
Oh, even one that we haven't mentioned that you think is definitely worth seeing. I'd love to hear it. I'm always on the lookout for movies to watch, Mason. It's a constant thing that
you've
got
to feed the machine, or he's like a shark, but for movies. If he doesn't watch a movie every day, he'll die.
And
in sink to the
when my
of
teeth
ocean.
Fall out, another row is there to replace it. I'm like a shark in two ways, Mason.
Oh, that's very handy.
Well, Mason, it's time for the segment of the show where we talk about what we have been reading and what we're going to read. I don't think it's called that exactly, but here's the theme song. I'm doing the theme. You ready?
Yes.
What are you reading?
You
got a notepad, you got a phone. What do you pick one?
No, I'm my bloody iPad.
Oh,
you
got
them all
too
out.
Much, mate.
No, it's good. It's great.
What did you watch or read?
This
week, last week.
What did I watch or read? Bloody hell.
I can start if you want.
Okay, go ahead.
I watched the first episode of
Red War. I was going to say, mine was going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you took it by saying it earlier. So
sucked in, mate.
Yeah, right.
Red Dwarf's back. I watched the first episode.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm back, great.
It's okay.
I know, what does that mean?
It was okay.
Not as good as Red Dwarf X?
I really liked Red Dwarf X. I thought it was an okay episode. It wasn't super funny.
Where are they?
they were on Starbug at the start, but they don't explain why.
Where's Red Dwarf? Do we know
where sorry, we see Red Dwarf at the end. So okay, cool. But nobody watches Red Dwarf. Why am I talking about this?
Somebody on Twitter asked if we're going to do a Red Dwarf episode.
Maybe at some point.
At some point.
When we've lost all our listeners. When it doesn't matter.
When it's just the two. When it's just the three people who will enjoy a Red Dwarf episode, which is us two and the guy who asked.
We should do a Red Dwarf episode, but I don't feel like anybody would listen. Anyway, you should watch Red Dwarf, at least the first six series.
Yeah.
Especially 3 to 6 or 7. I can't remember.
Three to six is the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, speaking of Westerns, there's an Emmy-winning episode called Gunman of the Apocalypse.
That is a fantastic episode.
Well, it's Emmy-winning.
Yeah.
So.
That's a fantastic bloody. If you want some Red Dwarf, get into that.
Yeah.
You could probably just watch that, couldn't you? I think that works standalone.
Probably, yeah, on standalone, it'd be fine. Yeah. Yeah. Also, I've got written down, like I've got a list of stuff that I'm going to get to at some point. This week I'm going to get to Chip Zdarsky is writing the new Jughead series.
Right. Apparently it's quite good. Okay, cool. So, he's great. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the new Magnificent Seven looks like that episode of Red Dwarf because they all seem to like they have powers. Oh, there's the arrow guy. There's the knife guy. There's the gunfighter. Whatever.
Right, okay,
it feels like that episode of Red Dwarf.
Okay.
I also watched every episode of The Night Of, the HBO drama.
Which
has been critically acclaimed. It's got Riz Ahmed, who's in the new Star Wars as well, coming up.
Uh-huh.
And it's about he's not a cab driver, he's a son of a cab driver, and he gets...
What, a son of a cab driver?
Son of a real bloody son of a cab driver. He gets embroiled in this, in a whole lot of, in a murder charge, which maybe he did, maybe he didn't do. And it's about the trial and the process and what happens to him being put away in the meanwhile this kind of trial is happening. And it's amazing.
Okay.
It's not fun. You won't have a good time, Mason. It's not a romp.
But I'm all about a romp,
It's definitely well worth checking out. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you recommend reading or what to read?
On Netflix, there is a... Mark Maron's in it. It's like a series of vignettes. I got to find them. Have you heard about this Ark? This movie Ark?
Oh, the time travel one.
Time travel one. It's exclusive to Netflix. Yeah, how'd that go?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, okay, right.
What did I say? Did I say I've seen it?
No.
Okay. What are you looking for?
This thing Mark Maron's doing.
Is it the Love one?
Yeah, Easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that vignettes?
It's a series of...
I didn't know that. I thought it was a...
Well, let's find out.
Nah.
I don't know what's about, but Maron's in it, so I'm on board.
You're on board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Never forget.
Okay.
All right, Mason, you know what it's time for now.
No.
It's a different segment. You don't know. You're not familiar because we do this every week.
Oh.
Has Robert De Niro ever done a Western? Surely.
You would think so.
He doesn't fit that. Some people don't look good in a Western.
Yeah,
and I
you're
don't
right.
think he would in particular.
What if it was De Niro Pacino?
No, Pacino would be terrible in a Western.
Yeah.
No.
It's a shame.
Like a modern Western, yes.
Yeah. What do you know about Briscoe County Jr.?
What?
It's the Bruce Campbell. It's similar to Wild Wild West. It's Briscoe. It's like a Western. It's set in the Wild West, but he's like a secret agent. He's got like high tech stuff.
When's it from?
Like the '90s?
Nah, I don't know it.
Okay.
I bet it's shit.
Probably. I should give it a whirl though. If you like it, let me know if it's good or not.
All right.
Okay.
The classic one was letters. Oh, letters. We love you. Some letters. They're only a day away. Hang on, they're here right now. We're gonna do letters.
This is from Matthew Pringle, who's at lonely_wackadoo. He spelled lonely wrong.
Yeah.
But I think that might be a Twitter character thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not enough. if you want to reach the show, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. That's what you do. Don't you do it, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
What is the likelihood of the Mad Max sequel, and what do you think it will be about?
It's going to be a Furiosa prequel, right?
That was a test, Mason, and you passed it.
Oh, shit.
There was a report this week in an Australian newspaper,
mm-hmm.
which are renowned for... printing garbage.
Absolutely.
That the Furiosa prequel has gone into pre-production and it's going to be filmed around Broken Hill and could start shooting later this year.
Back in Australia.
That's bullshit. You reckon they're really going to get that filming this year though? I don't doubt that it's going to happen.
Do you think it's going to be in Broken Hill?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, the last one was going to be in Australia, right?
And then it flooded or something
right,
happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was some tax thing, I'm sure as well. And because they kept moving it around. I don't know. It got complicated.
Mm.
But so that's the direction it's going. Excited for a Furiosa prequel?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, me too.
Also, I'm excited for the many varieties of Pringles that our friend is going to send to us.
Is that true?
I think so.
We're waiting, Pringle.
Mm-hmm.
Get them our way.
If you could. We've popped and we can't stop. So
correct.
Get them on.
You know what? They're okay. People talk about them like they're amazing. They're fine.
Wow.
What do you think?
I think they're great.
What are you, bloody in the pocket of Big Pringle, mate?
Yeah.
This is from Jealous General Hux. or Jelly Jen Hux on, on Twitter. It's a good handle. How would you feel if Phase 3 finally revealed that Stan Lee and his cameo are to be Uatu, the Watcher, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Is it Uatu? Uatu.
I say Uatu.
Uatu. That's it. It's one of those things where I never say it out loud.
What was your question? I missed the whole thing because so I was looking at did you know there's a Ben Mendelsohn Western called Slow West?
That sounds probably good.
Came out last year.
Is it good?
I don't know.
Bendelsohn.
Yes.
He's also in Rogue One.
Correct.
A Star Wars story.
And there's one called Ravenous.
Yeah.
Horror Western comedy. One? Yeah. Have you ever seen Cannibal the Musical?
No.
It's very odd. It's by the South Park guys. Came out years ago.
Okay. Before
South Park, yes.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was going to say before the one that people love.
Before Book of Mormon. Yeah.
I haven't seen Book of Mormon. Okay. I've been more meaning to see it. Mm-hmm. Phase 3, Stanley's revealed to be Uatu.
Yeah.
It is that. You're right. Uh-huh. The Watcher. What do you think? That's a popular fan theory.
I think...
That's why he's Uatu, in everything.
No, I think Uatu comes in... I like the idea. Yeah. I think it's a great fan theory. As always, I love all the fan theories.
Yeah.
Please send them to me at Mr. Sunday Movies. That's you. Now, send them to me at Wikipedia Brown if you've got a fun fan theory. I bloody love them all.
Yeah.
But I don't think he can be because that Uatu would be part of the Fantastic Four package, I would imagine.
Yes, but... We don't know where that's at, those
rights. Right, exactly.
So it's very possible. Yeah.
I mean, it is very possible, but I don't think that's going to happen. Also...
I think it's very possible.
But I don't think most people notice it. Like,
I think it might be a thing they do. Mm-hmm. I think it might be a thing they do, and this is kind of morbid, when Stanley passes, and they might retroactively be like... Hey, it was this guy the whole time, or whatever. No, you don't like it?
Because then they'd have to CGI animate some sort of...
You're telling me they don't have a CGI
Stan Lee
scan
ready to go.
You think they don't?
Look, I think probably...
Definitely scanned Stan Lee for the future. There is no
Scan
doubt.
Lee.
Scan Lee. There's no doubt in my mind they're not ready for that.
He probably made a guest appearance in Stripperella, so they could probably just take that animated version and add some rotoscoping to it and it'd
exactly,
be fine.
Exactly, yeah.
No, I think they'll make somebody... No, I think they'll make somebody else.
No, but I think it'll be him and then... Yeah. He'll morph and he'll be...
Oh, the real guy. The real guy. Okay, right.
So it's like it's just a facade so he can walk among people.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, yeah.
All right, I've turned you around on it, Mason.
Yeah. Look, I think it is a good... I think it's a fun thing to think about.
Thank you.
But I think they will go... Because that relies on everybody remembering that he makes all the cameos in the... And I'm...
Everybody knows that.
The fans
that.
Everybody
knows Stan Lee when they see him.
Yeah.
Didn't you say you saw Deadpool... And the woman next to you said, "That's Stan Lee."
Yeah, I did.
And you thought those people were going to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Until that happened,
it was like a 70-year-old woman and a 90-year-old grandmother or something like that. And I'm like, they've been tricked by the fake romantic comedy ads.
Yeah,
I think they're going to stand up and leave. And they're like, "That's Stan Lee."
Exactly.
And yeah,
there is that ripple through the audience when you see a Stan Lee cameo.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah,
maybe they're like, "That's that old guy."
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
but you want it to be. Who did you want to take over as the cameo in every...
DC Pearson.
I don't know why you chose him specifically. I like him.
Because he was in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, but why him?
I don't know. What? He's great.
He is, but he's not like... He's not a Marvel creative, you know what I mean?
No, I guess you're right.
This is from Caleb Jensen at Caleb28J, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Just watching Civil War. How do you expect Marvel to deal with most of the characters being fugitives? Don't know that word. It's fugitives.
Yeah, I see. I get it.
Thank you. So they're on the run at the end.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get two Avengers teams, Secret of Avengers and
Me too.
Regular. Yeah.
Also, I think it's going to be great because we're going to, you know what I would look forward to is a potentially maybe a two acts of the of those characters with no equipment.
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
Totally.
I think some...
And then they have to fight Thanos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, what's
the difference? Practice with my shield in months. Yeah.
Like... Yeah, I mean, a guy with trick arrows or a guy with his fists, what's the difference against Thanos, really, when you think about it? Yeah, I think that would be good. I think Marvel does this quite well. You know, when they...
Movies?
Just stuff.
That's sure,
just generally.
Yeah.
Like, again, if you were to say, you know, 10 years ago, in the 90s, if you were like, we're going to do a Captain America...
Pre-Matrix.
Yeah, pre-Matrix. If they said, we were going to do a Captain America series for over a year, Captain America's not in it, I'd be like... Impossible.
You can't.
And I think also if you were to be like, we're going to take all your favorite characters, take all their equipment away, what do you reckon about that? I'd be like, you know, don't do it. You know, there's not enough to distinguish them.
We're going to make Captain America a werewolf.
But I think there's enough to distinguish. They're all great.
Yeah.
They're all great character actors. They're fun. They work together really great.
And some things work in the movies that don't work in comics and vice versa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's certain story arcs which obviously.
But I would like an arc in maybe the next Avengers where that team has to be like,
shit.
We're all decked out in the classic incognito Marvel movie character uniform, which is leather jacket, t-shirt, baseball cap, aviator sunglasses.
I want Captain America to have a fake mustache like he does in the Civil War comic.
And they can just do some espionage stuff.
Yeah,
they can do some heisty stuff.
I feel like this isn't going to be the movie for that. We might get 15, 20 minutes of it, maybe half an hour at the start. And then they'll have to come back together to fight Thanos. And I think that will also be it's interesting that the point of contention will not only be the galactic threat, but also them getting along.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like what the first Avengers sort of did. Yeah. I really want to see just that movie though now.
Right?
But yeah. Maybe we'll get it.
I'm a good ideas man.
You are.
I'm a bad detail man. I'm a bad showing up on time man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a bad knowing what this equipment does man.
You're a bad having a phone and an iPad and a notepad. I mean, you're good at that, but it's a bad idea.
No, I'm an ideas man.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I think that's the show, Mason.
I think we did it.
But it's nearly the show. Do you have any DC memes for this week?
Oh.
People loved the DC memes.
People, look, guys, if you have a DC, any kind of comic book meme.
Yeah.
But look,
it has to be illogical.
Here's what I want in a meme. Thank you for everybody. A lot of people have sent me some good jokes and stuff like that, which is great. Like meme-based jokes.
Yeah.
Great. I don't want them. I want a meme that makes no sense and there's more text than there is visual.
Yeah.
And it's got to be somebody who's clearly having an argument with somebody else in meme form. That's what I want.
Absolutely.
I just want something. If you're not the world's biggest fan
of
this meme, you have no idea what's happening. A few people sent me this. At Art himself on Twitter sent me this meme. It is. Yeah, it's in my Twitter feed, so it's at Wikipedia Brown. It'll be in there. Just find it.
Yeah.
It's Marvel. It's two characters. One has a Marvel head. One has a DC head. They're having an argument. It is 9 panels long. It's all text. It is horrific.
Oh, I've seen that one.
It is so
bad. Do you want to read it?
No, it makes no sense. Just find it.
And then it ends with Image Comics.
Yeah. He's flinching. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it memes.
Very good.
What does it meme? Anyway, I just love memes. I just love them so much.
I know. If you've got any memes, send them our way.
Send me some memes.
Specifically to Mason. Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one is nonsense, though.
That's so good. That's what I want, though.
Yeah, they have to be nonsense.
Yeah.
All right, Mason, thank you for coming along to the show this week.
Absolutely. My pleasure to come along to the show.
Next week, Luke Cage. We probably won't do spoilers
because
it would have just come out for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But
and I may not have finished it by the time we're doing it.
I will probably have to have because I'm sure I'll do a video or whatever.
Got to find them Easter eggs.
Some bloody thing like that or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where can people find us?
Oh, they can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail and Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And I'm at Wikipedia Brown.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
You can also follow The Weekly Planet. That's our friend Robert Collings.
Yes.
He does great stuff to do with the show. He does great little animated little videos on YouTube.
He does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He does. He's a man of the people.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to support the show, keep the lights on here.
Mm.
Keep us in DC memes.
I didn't put on the on air sign.
That's okay.
I'm putting it on, Mason. Okay. You keep talking, but I'm putting this on.
Let's see. If you want to help out the show, keep the lights on, keep us in memes and such.
Yes.
You can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies.
Correct.
You can go to our Amazon affiliate link, which is in the episode description.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to buy anything, you're going to buy a Jughead. You're going to buy The Proposition on DVD.
Sure.
You're going to buy a...
The Best of...
John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Mm.
No DVD pack.
Anyway, you just click through that link and it just goes to regular Amazon. You pay their low prices and win. Somehow we get a kickback from that. Who knows?
Yeah.
What else do we do? All our t-shirts. We've got a lot of t-shirt designs on tpublic.com.
Yeah.
Just search Weekly Planet. They're all up there.
That's right. Actually, it's tpublic.com/MrSundayMovies.
Cool.
That's what I didn't set it up. They set it up.
Cool.
So, sorry, Mason.
No,
so that's not the Weekly Planet. So that's
okay.
Only me specifically.
That's okay. Well, you can buy all the specific Mr. Sunday Movies themed t-shirts, all one of them.
I don't think there is.
Now there's one.
Is there?
It says shooting up your butthole.
Oh, yeah. The
you got the bad
love that
slogan.
I did, which you invented.
Yep.
And I get the bad slogan?
Correct. That works.
You know how many people would have turned off this show from, I'm sure, just the opening song? Just been like, not for me.
Well, we chose it. So it won the competition. So
it did. It's really good, actually. I really like the song.
Yeah. Which reminds me, thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our themes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll
be a bit of the show, I think. Yeah.
Next week, something else.
Luke Cage.
But also, yeah, Caravan of Garbage this Thursday. Come back to all platforms and it will be there.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
A lot of people, a lot of good feedback.
Yeah.
Let us know. We'd love to do another series.
No background music. Got it.
That's some feedback.
That's on me. That was just
experiment.
We're working it out. So yeah.
But we got two more, and then maybe one more video.
Yeah, maybe.
We're working on.
And the next two are a little bit shorter because they cost less to edit and they take less time. So they're about, the video probably about 10 to 15 minutes and the audio maybe 20.
So yeah, thanks to everybody who supports us and supports our sponsors because they have realized that you guys are supporting them and they're like, do an extra thing.
And we can
take the time to do that, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening.
Thank you for subscribing, reviewing, and all that sort of stuff. It's great stuff.
You have to say the tagline.
Oh, I say grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye, goodbye.
That's good. That's a good catchphrase for you.
I don't feel very well.
That's a great catchphrase because that's you most weeks, if anything.
Stop the button pressing stop.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.